Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Well, we're back. We are back. It is 2018. I'm so excited. Welcome to The Whole Scoop, your health and wellness radio show. I am Carol Ferraci, your host, a registered licensed dietitian. But if you've been listening to us for the last few years, you already know that. You already know that I'm a part of NaturallyNutritionInc.com. That's where you can find me. For those of you who are new, yes, we are health and wellness, and the stipulation for being on this show is that people must be credentialed in the fields of which we're talking. And tonight, of course, it's no exception. We don't make exceptions in that area. But, you know, we are starting out our new year. We are doing new year, new attitude, new point of view, new everything. So, you know, everybody makes resolutions. Everybody does all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I wanted to take tonight to talk about you guys. So, I'm going to remind you that whatever we talk about, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. Notice how I'm getting faster at saying those kinds of things. I have to say them, but I don't have to say them slowly, and I don't have to take a whole lot of time. Call number is 347-855-8894, 347-855-8894. Plus, we have the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group that's growing, and it's exciting. We have this event tonight, and I'm excited to be here hosting and having everybody a part of it. So let us know what you think on our Facebook, Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group. We also have a webpage, thewholescoopradio.com. You'll find more information about our guests there. 347-855-8894. We will take questions later on. We'll talk about whatever it is that we're talking about and get you on, and you can ask our guests. Who do we have tonight? Well, we have a superstar with us. She's a fabulous, fabulous guest. She's always sure to spark some thought processes in all of us. Her name is Susan Schatzer. Those of you who know her well. Those of you who don't, you're going to want to know her well. Let me tell you a little bit about Susan. She was in a tough place suffering from chronic illness and a destructive divorce. Her closest family lived 8 states away. Upon meeting Dr. Heer, she was asked a single question that changed her life. He asked, "What if this is what you've been asking for?" So Susan became very much aware and found that to be profound and began an entire life. I'm cutting it short tonight, Susan, because I want to talk to you and I want us to talk. So and it's a new thing that we're starting on The Whole Scoop. I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview, and then I'm going to ask you to go over to the website and see these things so that we can maximize the time on the radio. That is actually one of the suggestions given by one of our a couple of our listeners, actually, like, hey, can we, because we always run out of time. So anyway, Susan, she is, I'm just going to give you this much, she's appeared on multiple TV networks in the U.S. and Canada. She's a natural gift and a talent for both TV and radio, and functioned as a casting director and host for shows such as Ask Bon Bon, Ask a Question, Change Your Life. She is a very successful six-time number one international best-selling author. She's done it all, and I just want to say hello to Susan, so I'm going to bring her on and say, Susan, it's 2018, and we're here together. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Carol. I am so excited to be here. Thank you incredibly, incredibly from the bottom of my heart for, you know, picking January to be the month for us to chat and truly get a chance to pop into everyone's reality and just gift them with the empowerment and knowledge that, you know, now is the time, and it's a beautiful place to be.
It really is. And, you know, I kind of said it earlier, but I really want to make the point. Everybody does all kinds of things at the new year. We're going to make resolutions. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to paint that room. I'm going to clean up this closet. I'm going to do whatever. But the thing that I thought long and hard about this show for tonight, and I thought, you know, everybody gets instructions on what to do, and I don't really want to do tonight's show with instructions. Tonight's show is about people. It's about the person and how each and every one of us is capable of obtaining and attaining the things that are best for us. And I think, Susan, you're a prime example of that. Look at all the things that you've attained from your experiences. And, you know, I think if you would just maybe share a couple of examples maybe that you know from other people or yourself, and we can get started on that. We'll just have a conversation. And for those of you listening, I'm hoping that you kind of take with you what we're doing and attribute it to some of the things that you feel personally about yourself, and then say, hey, I can do that, because that would be the goal of the entire show. Right, Susan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would be great to kind of start with, like, where science meets awareness. Would that be a good place?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay. So scientists tell us that the amount of energy that's here right now in the universe is the same amount of energy that was here when the universe was first created, that they can't create energy or destroy energy. Energy just transforms. So what does that mean? Well, who are we? We're made of energy. That's what we are. We're molecules. You know, we're energy. The food we eat is energy. The clothing we wear is energy. The technology we use, you know, everything's energy. So if it can't be created and it can't be destroyed, then we've actually been here for the life of the universe. And a lot of scientists have dated it a couple billion years or even a couple trillion years old. So, yeah, we're sort of infinite.
Yeah.
So when we're asked, yeah, so truth, are you an infinite being? It's like, yeah, we are. So right now we're beings with a body until we're not, and then we're just beings without a body, which, in other words, it's like we're energy with a body until we're energy without a body, but we're still energy and we're still here. We're just in a different vibrational, and that's the other thing about energy is we're acoustical vibrational beings. And vibrational beings, vibration is energy. So when you think about music and you think about colors and you think about smells and flavors and tastes, it's all a vibrational energy. And what we've done is we've attached the name of it, the definition behind it, what that means, what that is, what that looks like, what that smells like, what that tastes like. And all of that has shown up has created the reality that we live in. So the awareness is where we kind of take a look at, okay, so what is it that creates this in our life? So what is it about your life that you're creating? Like, what are you happy about? What are you unhappy about? You know, what is expansive for you? What is contractive for you? So know that everything's energy. Even our thoughts, even our feelings, and even our emotions, Carol, are also energy. So the more time we spend, did you want to ask a question?
Finish your thought, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was just going to say the more time we spend with our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions, and those thoughts, feelings, and emotions happen to be what I call low vibrational energy, which is a low acoustical vibration. The low vibration would be like anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, regret, guilt. And those are distractions that Access Consciousness has identified. And with that, they kind of distract us from actually asking a question. And anytime we ask a question, it always empowers us. So this is the energy that we be.
Okay, so let's just break that down into simple terms then for people who are still trying to grasp the concept, okay? So
yeah.
If I'm working and I, you know, I go to work every day, I work 8 hours, I work 12 hours, whatever it turns out to be, and I chose my profession or I chose my job. I like my job, but I really don't like a lot about it. I like most of it, but I don't like enough of it to be what I would call happy. So if that's the case, then I go and I do this over and over and over again every single day, and I'm kind of like feeling like, why am I doing this? And I don't know if there's anything better. I can't seem to find anything. I can't quit without having something else. I have to pay the bills. The bills are piling up. The kids need this, or I have financial obligations that are just swimming away from me. Whatever. Did I create that, or is that what you're saying with energy? Did I create that for myself? I don't feel happy about it. I don't think that it's doing me any good in my life. So why would I create that, and how would I do that? And if you're saying that energy's always been there and we're vibrating a certain energy and whatever, that really doesn't tell me what it means. Are you saying then that it's my fault? You know, and I'm not meaning to point fingers at people. I'm just saying, how do I break through? What do I do? How do I understand that? Because remember, the theme of tonight's show is new year, new attitude, new beginnings, new everything. So here I am in this rut. Here I am doing all the things that I think I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not feeling really good about it. And how do I deal with that, and how did I create that, and how do I not create that for myself, and what do I need to do?
Wow, that's the entire show. Thank you.
Yes. I did that pretty well.
Yes, I know. I'm like, wow, I should have had my recorder on because there was a lot of golden nuggets in that. So, yeah, and I'll just use myself as an example. Yeah, like for what reason would a single mom with a newborn, create a chronic illness where you can't work and you have no family around and you literally have to start a trial drug study? Why? Why would that be created? Why would that be chosen? You know, for what reason? And I sat back and I looked at that and I said, okay, so I have a point of view here. And my point of view is holding this in place. And that is what was the incredible gift that my mentor gave me. He said, you know, what if this is what you've been asking for? And I couldn't say yes, Carol, and I couldn't say no. I was like, well, maybe it is. And so asking a question is what empowered me. And it's not the why. Like when you were talking about not enjoying work and having to stay at work and not being able to leave and having jobs and bills and all that kind of stuff, there were no questions in that whatsoever. That was very low vibrational frequency. It was very contractive. There was no hope. There was no choice. That's the no choice universe that you guys have going on in your life versus asking a question. So if something's not working for you, go ahead and ask, okay, so what point of view do I have that's holding this in place? And know that a lot of the points
Stop
of view.
For a minute, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just take that for a minute. Okay. What kind of point of view do I have? So let's just take my little scenario here where I'm in this continuous vicious cycle of not really, you know, just doing the same thing every day and not going any further or forward. So what is the question? The question is, say that again.
What's the point of view?
So my point of view for that.
That's holding this in place. Yeah.
Okay. So then I would say, the point of view of what's holding this in place, I don't know. Am I supposed to have the answer, or am I just asking the question?
Well, you want to ask the question and then allow, like, your awareness to kind of kick in. Allow things that you – a lot of us were taught things, and we weren't even aware we were being taught from our parents. I mean, how many people grew up with parents who are like, work hard, play hard, or, you know, work to make money, work to have money, and then when you have money – you know, people have lots of points of view about, you know, so what do you put your money towards? And people are like, bills. Okay, well, if you have the point of view that your money goes towards bills, then you actually, the more money you make, the more bills you're going to create. So that's how you get locked into it. If you believe that you have to work 40 hours a week in order to make money, then the universe, like, cannot deliver anything else, Carol, than what you've already decided is true for you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's like for me, when I had the chronic illness, it was like, okay, I didn't, you know, I couldn't get a divorce. You know, we had a Catholic upbringing in the family and whatnot. And his family was Catholic as well. And it was an abusive relationship, abusive marriage. And, you know, it was incredible. Only after I asked, okay, so what is my point of view that created that? Well, I needed a way out, and I needed a way out where I couldn't be judged, and I needed a way out where it would be okay for both sides of the family with religion to go ahead and create a separation or a divorce. And we ended up getting divorced, but it was the chronic illness. It was something that he could not handle. It was something that was not, I couldn't get judged for it. Do you know what I mean? It was like the perfect thing. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at how powerful and potent I am. So instead of going into the wrongness of who I am and what I was, it was actually an empowerment for me. So know that whatever your quote unquote, your biggest problem is, there's actually your greatest possibility hidden within inside that. So with
okay,
you,
hold on.
Talking about,
hold on.
Yeah, let's.
I want to pick that apart. Okay. The greatest possibility, your greatest possibility is hidden inside of your greatest what?
Your biggest problem. Yeah. Whatever
your biggest problem
is, mm-hmm, your greatest possibility is hidden within that. Because what happens is there's a point of view that you have there that's locking that in place.
Okay.
So I can give you an example.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So I have clients that I work with on a one-on-one, you know, private basis, and lots of times clients will come on and they'll have something going on with a family member or a coworker. It could be a riff or a personality problem or how they are reacting or acting or whatever it happens to be. And within an hour, we take a look at what their point of view is that's holding it in place. So we talk about, and it was incredible to find where they had picked something up and they thought something about that other individual. And everything, thoughts, feelings, emotions, all that is all energy. So it sticks with you. You know, think something is a certain way, then that person doesn't have an opportunity to show up any other way because you've already decided they are that kind or type of person. And literally,
okay,
when we clear that for them, I will tell you, it is like 10 out of 10 times I'll be getting an email or a text within a week or so, sometimes as much as an hour or 24 hours, where that person's like, oh my God, I have a brand new father. Like, where did he come from? And another one, my daughter-in-law, you know, you would not believe, you know, and they've been at odds for years, even decades, Carol.
Now, and Susan, is this because people are actually changing, or is it because the thought process toward that person is changed from the other person?
Yeah, we eliminate the thought that they have that's locking that relationship in the way it is. Because what happens is, whatever your point of view is, the universe is here to validate your reality. So if you say, my work is terrible or this person is horrible, the universe is like, oh, okay, here's more of that. God is like, yep, I hear you. Everything you say is a prayer, and every prayer is answered. Here you go. And what you think
what
about,
am
you
I
talk about.
That? What's the reverse of that?
The reverse of what? Ask me one more time.
So in other words, if that person is horrible and I'm locking myself into, you know, having that person horrible, or this issue is, my job is horrible, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How do I reverse that? What do I think or say or do to reverse that?
Okay, let's take your job. Your job is horrible.
Okay. My job is horrible. Not this
absolutely
job.
Horrible,
not,
right?
Not the hosting part. Okay, but let's just say my job is horrible.
Okay. So what I would do is we would talk about, okay, so what are the benefits of the job?
Okay. So the benefits of the job would be to pay the bills, put food on the table, you know, the whole food, water, shelter kind of thing. Are you
okay,
there?
Does it help you socialize? Does it help you get out of the house? Does it help you co-create with other people?
Okay, in order to do the job, you'll have to get out of the house. Socializing, yes, there's some socialization there, but not. It's a 9-to-5 socialization. It's not anything else. So let's just say, it's a temporary, daily temporary socialization.
Yeah. So cool. So would you be willing to invite the vibrational frequency of gratitude into that? You know, how many people don't even have a job?
Right.
You know, you have
That's
a
right.
job.
That's
you
right.
You know, how many people, and you said food, water, shelter. How many people don't have shelter? And how many people
Correct.
Don't have food?
Okay.
So
and I think those are excellent points that I wanted you to bring up, because that is true. Okay. We do have to look for those things. So okay, so now let's say now you've just enlightened me to being grateful, having gratitude. Now what do I do with that?
Okay, so everywhere you're saying I hate work, I don't like work, work is terrible, work is awful, would you be willing to change that language, change those thoughts and change that language and incorporate into this, I love my job. My job is awesome. My job affords me, food. My job affords me a shelter, a place to stay, a dry location. It affords me transportation. It affords me clothing. It affords me, I can pay my bills. I'm like, I am not in a destitute kind of living situation. All of my basics are taken care of. So would you be willing to implement that? And, I am so grateful for my job. Oh, my goodness. If I did not have this job, I could be there. And then, so do you feel the energy of that? Does that feel expansive?
Yeah, and the energy of that feels like there are possibilities.
There you go. So that basically just neutralized your negative vibrational frequency of, I don't like it, it's terrible, it's horrible, it's awful. You neutralized it with gratitude. Gratitude is one of the highest vibrational frequencies we have on the planet. When you are in gratitude, you cannot be in judgment. When you are in gratitude, you cannot have anger.
So let me ask you this, okay? With gratitude, and let's go back to your situation now, the chronic illness, okay? Am I to be if I have a chronic illness, am I to be grateful for that, for whatever, whatever, if our greatest possibility, if our biggest problem is the greatest possibility, am I to be grateful for the possibility? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because to take my example, it's like I am so grateful for my ex. For my son's father, he made it so easy just to walk out. It was incredible. I am truly, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, so grateful for him because, it was awesome, and it is awesome. It is in a huge, expansive place. And am I grateful for the chronic illness? I guess I'd have to say yes and no. I have my no days and I have my yes days. It served me well, and it's what really was required at the time, and that's how that got created, to change my living situation, and without the judgment. And then I do have the days where I'm like, okay, this really is not the, most bestest, happiest place to be in. And I know I said the wrong word, because it's dynamic in a sense that, we all take a look at where our frustration is. And when we do have frustration, it's where we're not actually asking a question. A frustration comes when we're expecting something. For instance, I have high expectations for my health. It has not progressed. It's been over 15 years now, and it's still there. But it's supposed to have progressed. It's a chronic, and it's something that continues to develop. But I haven't had any signs of that. So I'm very grateful for that. as well. And then I pull that into my life because I like to, you know, and I know everyone is like, yeah, you can pull in the gratitude, but then what do? You're still waking up. You're still at the same job. So would you be willing to ask what else is possible? Because what else is possible? Yeah.
Right.
You start thinking about things.
Right. So, well, I kind of want to elaborate a little bit more because I've just put a healthcare practitioner hat on with you, and I'm thinking about my own clients and the state in which, you know, sometimes I see them, and I've got a couple right now that are experiencing some chronic situations. One in particular is a chronic situation where she has been diagnosed with something that most people would consider to be common, but is really battling with it, and her body is really fighting back to the point where it's being beaten. So. When I'm putting on this healthcare practitioner hat with you, I'm saying, okay, you know, I look at people holistically and I say, all right, you know, I understand what the situation is that we're dealing with, but I also look at the whole person and say, okay, what else is going on in your life? What else is happening? Where are you? And then let's look at the support for physiologically, the support for all the functions in the body and not just the one little area or the one particular area that might be the greatest, have the greatest impact from this process. So now, with talking with you, I'm saying I need to expand that even further, and I need to say, all right, what got you to this point? Is that what you're saying? What questions do I ask as a healthcare practitioner to, for lack of a better word, jolt someone into thinking a little differently about their situations and get them to understand that, yes, gratitude is the highest vibration, and that from gratitude things can change just by having that awareness. So what do I do? How do I do that as a healthcare practitioner, zeroing in on, say, and I'm going to use you for an example, if that's okay, because I can't really use too much of what I'm working with right now. But you had you were diagnosed with MS, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if you came to me and I was your practitioner, and now with this awareness that you and I are talking about, I would say to you, so what's happening in your life that caused you to develop this? Is that what, you know, would that be an opening question for me to jolt them to think differently?
Close. That's close to the question. When chronic illness and disease is developed with people, they're trying to get out of something. So I would ask, what are you trying to get out of? Some people try to get out of work. Some people try to get out of their marriage. Some people try to get out of the family. Some people are trying to get out of the body. Some people are ready to leave. And, you know, suicide's not an option. So, you know, what's another way that they can do it without being judged? It's, you know, you can get a disease.
So it goes right back to what you were saying, and that you needed to get out of your marriage. You have a chronic illness. That was your answer.
That was my awareness. When I was like, what?
Awareness.
What do I love about this? You know, what am I not getting? What's right about this I'm not getting? You know, what is this? And I would, because asking a question always empowered me. So I was getting, you know, realizations. I was like, oh, that's it. What's right about this? Oh, my goodness. There it is. And I had the awareness that it was, you know, there was no other way out for me, and I needed a way out. And that was, you know, what was created. And I'm so thankful that he did. I mean, he just up and walked. I mean, I'm so grateful for that. It was like an easy out.
Wow. Okay. So, so now, okay, I want you to continue. I know I stopped you, but, this is, this is how I wanted to break it down, because I need to understand it from two perspectives. One, for the listener that's never heard it before or is still trying to put it together, from, because I get a lot of feedback. Everybody loves listening to you, and they go, it's fabulous, it's fabulous, it's fabulous, but then I forget what to do or how to do it, or I can't remember what she said, or I can't. And I really want, I wanted to start off the new year with you, and I'm so grateful for you being here, but I also wanted to make it, get those points in for people that, that, you know, may be stuck a little bit, so that they understand it a little differently.
Yeah, so let's break it down for people. So go ahead and take out a piece of paper and just start listing all the things that are working for you in your life and all the things that are not working for you in your life. And with all the things that aren't working for you in your life, right, go ahead and ask, you know, okay, where did this come from? Where did this not working come from? Like, whatever it is that's not working for you, whether it's a job or your living arrangements, whatever it happens to be, so many of us pick up at such an early age from our family, our parents, our siblings, our coaches, our teachers, our neighbors, our society, our heritage, our religions, non-truths. They're, you know, pretty much lies about how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to show up, and what we have to do, must do, should do. And it's based on responsibility and obligation. And so we're responsible for certain things, and we have an obligation for certain things. But that's not always the truth for us. You know, we are choosing things based on responsibility and obligation, and it's not our truth. It's not what we would like to do. But because of responsibility and obligation, that's what we're taught. So do you remember the two-year-olds? Does anyone have a two-year-old? Does anyone know a two-year-old? And
or
what's
ever
the question,
know a two-year-old.
Karen? Right?
Yeah.
Right? So,
right.
I mean, you see them in restaurants all the time, and, you know, when school gets out across the street. Well, two-year-olds, like, they're asking, do you remember what question they always ask? And parents are like, oh, I can't wait to get out of this phase.
Why?
They ask,
why?
Why? Yes. They're asking why. Because at two, you know that what your parents and everybody else is thinking, saying, and doing is not the easiest, fastest, fun, high vibrational way of doing and being. So you want to know why they're doing that. So why mom? Why dad? Why brother? Why pastor? Why neighbor? Why teacher? You know what I mean? They know that there's a different possibility. So what if wearing their ballet outfit to school is a contribution to them?
Right.
What if wearing their pajamas to church is what their body requires? So those
okay.
are just two examples. But the whys, and what we do is we go, well, why? Because, and then we justify it. Well, this
right.
is the way you have to do it. This is the way you've got
right.
to do it. This is how you must do it. And so there's your obligation.
And then when all else fails, because I said so.
Yeah, because the parents can't think of anything else.
Right.
Because I'm the parent, and I'm the boss, and you're the child.
Right.
Right? So
right.
everywhere that we are adults and we have bigger bodies, we're infinite beings. Guess who's also an infinite being? They're just in a smaller body. Your
yep.
kids. And they're more aware because they don't have the filters on yet. At two, that's when you start to put the filters on your kids. That's when you start to say, this is the box. You've got to fit in this box. This is how you fit in the box. And this is why you're going to fit in the box.
So from the age of two, we start to develop all of those responsibilities and obligations and what's right or wrong and what's not necessarily based in truth, because what's true for one isn't necessarily true for someone else, right?
Yes, yes. Fabulous.
Okay.
Amazing.
So if that's the case, then we're talking about lifetimes of undoing. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And you're saying to undo by virtue of asking questions.
asking questions is going to give you the awareness of what the block is, what the lie is, what it is, what's been created. The clearing part is kind of where I step in to help people with clearing.
Okay, so let's keep going with this, the job or the illness. So what's next?
Okay, so you started off first with writing on your list of paper what's working for you and what's not working for you. And with the things that are not working for you, you're going to take a look at, okay, so what's right about this I'm not getting? What is this? You want to ask questions around each of those things that are not working for you. You know, what is my point of view with this that's holding this in place? You really want to dig down deep and be honest with yourself. Oh, my goodness. And you can even ask, okay, so who does this belong to? Who does this? And you're, you know, you'll go, oh, my God, when I was 6, my dad said to me, I wasn't enough. And when I was 10, my coach said, you're not strong enough or you're not fast enough. So you'll start to pinpoint things just with this lifetime alone, not to mention the trillions of other, you know, lifetimes of energy that we have all had.
Right.
And then once you have those things, you can just go, okay, it's time to go. Yep. And you take a deep breath in, everybody. You open your crown chakra. You take a deep breath in. Nice. And then you're going to blow it out your feet on 3, and you're going to allow it to dissipate, and I'd like you to remove it from your body, your being, your aura, and your reality. 1, 2, 3. And as fast as you took it on, it's as fast as you can let it go. And by breathing in, you're filling your body with whatever that is for you. If it's, you know, God, source energy, angelic realm, whatever that happens to be, fill that, you know, white, beautiful, healing light up in your whole body. You're going to allow anything that's dark, heavy, shaded, veiled, chained, locked, nailed down, shackled, to just remove it from your body and just blow it out your feet, because it's all energy. That's all this is.
Okay, so I need to say this. If it's all energy, I want to bring it back to the very first thing you said. Everything is energy. Energy is there. It's never going to change. We have the same amount of energy. It's a matter of how it accumulates and how we process. Would that be correct?
No, I didn't say it would never change. Yeah, I didn't say it would never change.
Okay,
I said it transforms.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't create energy or destroy energy. Energy just transforms.
Okay. So it's how we process through what we encounter?
Well, what you have is like, so say you take your life and you, let's say it's a computer, and you have your computer screen open, right? And you're on your computer screen and you are trying to live your life. So you're going here, you're going there, you're at work, you're at play, you're at fun, you're eating, you're sleeping, all that kind of stuff. You're doing life, right? Well, picture now trillions of screens that are open in the background, trillions, right? Those are all your points of view about everything. Those that are known and unknown to you, those that you're willing to acknowledge and those that you're not willing to acknowledge. And a lot of times we keep them secret from ourselves and we're our best liars. We'll lie to ourselves all the time. And so they're all open. Well, you know, on your computer, when you have tons of screens open and running in the background, how easy is it to create on the front screen?
Right.
Not at
right.
all. I mean, your computer crashes, it shuts down,
right.
it starts to buffer. That's your life. It's not working right now. We're in 2-teen, everybody. And the consciousness on the planet has risen to an astronomical level. We have never had as much consciousness as we do right now on the planet. That the amount of vibrational frequencies, everything is changing for us. Politics are changing for us, laws, rules, everything that we know is changing for us. And now is the time to choose to step into your power and potency, to go, okay, you know, this whole, you know, I hate my work thing doesn't work for me anymore. I really am ready. I'm ready to have, you know, a job, work, play that is going to be fun for me. And you absolutely positively can have it without a shadow of a doubt, without a single thought, you can have it. Absolutely. So we just work on it. You know, it's sort of like you know, when you went to college, except they never taught us this in school. You know, you learned a trade. Well, you're going to be learning about being conscious. You're going to learn that your thoughts, your feelings, and emotions are creating your reality, are lowering or raising your vibrational frequency. Like attracts like. It's just the way it is on the planet. It's a universal law. So if you're low vibrational energy, guess what you attract to you? More low vibrational energy. So if you have a low vibration with your work, the next thing that comes along or being able to get out of it is going to be low vibration. So you know, it's your choice. You know, if you'd like to take a look at it, if you, you know, want to ask questions about it, this is like one of the fastest, quickest ways. Literally, there are men and women who have been in therapy for, you know, decades, and they get with me, and within, you know, 2, 3, 4 sessions, things are completely cleared and they're off and running. And seriously, it is eliminating the things that we've been, that we've taken on or that have been implanted into us, you know, by our family, you know, when we were 2 or less or previous life that we brought back with us. It's just the way.
So I have another question.
Yeah.
Here's the other question. And this is kind of philosophical, but not. You mentioned the universe, you mentioned God, you mentioned, you know, whatever anyone, whatever you choose to, you know, whatever is true for you. Right, uh-huh. Susan, that's what you said earlier, right? And
yeah.
Now, so here's my question. And I'm having trouble structuring it a little bit in my head, so bear with me, okay? My question is this. We have so many people, pretty much the majority of the population, who believe in something. They believe in an entity, whether they believe in God, they believe in the universe, they believe in something. There are people who emphatically believe in all of, in any of that, to the extent where they gear their lives toward that, okay? Nothing wrong with that. This isn't about judging. This is about the question being, if so many people are so dedicated in that particular area, and we're talking tonight about new you, new attitude, new life, new whatever, and we're moving forward and you're clearing old things or stale things or old energies, then the people who are, in for lack of a better word, please excuse me, everybody, it's not meant to offend anybody, the people who are entrenched in religion and God and universe and whatever, it doesn't really matter to me for the structure of this question, then, you know, I'm hearing them say, God will get you through. I'm hearing them say, and as you're talking, I'm hearing people in my head going, you know, but God wants it this way, or, you know, there's a reason for everything and this is God's plan, okay? Now, if that's the case, which it is in a lot of cases, in a lot of situations for a lot of people, and their faith is leading them and pulling them in particular directions that they wholeheartedly, hands down, believe that's where they should go, and we all do it, right? Then is that part of real? Is that reality theirs? Is that reality from 2 years old and someone else gave them that reality? Is that a part of where they are now consciously to be in a state of gratitude? I mean, what do you find in your practice with that?
That is a great question. I have found the neutrality is key because anytime you go that something is good and or right or bad or wrong, you lock in polarity. Not saying that whatever that is for them is right or wrong or good or bad. It's okay, cool. I just go right down the middle. Okay, cool. All right, how's that working for you? Okay, it is awesome. system. And there's an allowance, and is like one of the best gifts that you can give someone is to allow them to have their point of view, to allow them to be in the space that they're in, that you're not superior or you're not right or you're not wrong, and they're not superior and they're not right or they're not wrong. It's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, you just meet them where they are. And as a facilitator, you know, that's one of the things that we do, Carol. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're like, oh, okay. You know, because it's like, that's what they're able to receive. Not everybody's able to receive this conversation. This may be the seed that gets planted for them, and then it may be watered over years. Do you know what I mean? And something may start to grow, and then they go, oh, that's right. I remember that. So we could be seed planting, you know, with a lot of people. And that's okay too, because that's what they're able to receive.
Okay, great. And that's a fabulous answer. Thank you. And the reason that I asked that is because, as I said, I'm hearing a lot of people that I know asking that, you know, saying that, and I'm kind of hearing them without them talking to me at the moment, going, hey, it's God's plan, and it may very well be. The fact is that if we're working on a plan, and I'm going back right to being a healthcare practitioner again. If I'm working with somebody with a chronic illness, and I go back to that original question and say, you know, what got you here? Where are we? Whatever, you know? And they say, but this is God's plan. And I say, okay, great. That's great. And then the next part of that is what you just said is to accept all of that. But I think it's important. The whole premise of that question is it's important to understand then, even if it is God's plan, and let's just make that a reality and make that true, if it is God's plan, does God really mean for you to be in this state, or does God really want you to be aware? Is that correct? Would that be a correct, approach for that, or I mean, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, cool. So the questions that you just ask are actually statements with a question mark at the end. It's not actually a question, because you have a point of view behind it. It's kind of like, no, there's no way an infinite being, you know, God would create this kind of a thing. You know, there's like separation. And they believe in the separation because they're here and God's there. And that's okay, you know, that people have that point of view. For me, it would, as a facilitator, I would kind of ask them like, so, you know, what would be the greatest fun for you? What would be fun? And I would ask them expansive questions. Like, you know, if this is what's showing up in your world right now, like if you didn't have this, who would you like to be? If you didn't have this, what would you like to do? And I get them to start thinking about their life without it, because so many times people are like, okay, when I go to bed, this, when I wake up, this, when I go to work, this, when I get home, this, and it's all conclusionary. Like their whole life is based on what's supposed to happen, what's going to happen, what always happens, what should happen, what must happen. And questions just totally shatter that right out of the place. It's like, hey, you know, are you having fun? Like my son, ever since he was little, we would both catch each other and go, wait, are you having fun? He's like, no. I'm like, oh, we better fix this. And we would literally fix whatever it was if we were not having any fun, because we knew that that was a low vibrational frequency, and that fun, happiness, joy, ease, gratitude is a high vibrational frequency. So the more you can stay in the high vibrational frequencies, the more of the infinite possibilities you're going to be attracting to yourself. It's sort of like when I got diagnosed, it was like bad marriage, bad finances, you know what I mean? Bad body, you know, single parent, alone, no family, very low vibrational frequency. So that's what I was attracting to myself, until I switched into questioning. And when I was like, okay, so how else could this work for me? What else is possible here? How could my life get better than this? You know, what else? Like, if you're having a job right now and it's not working real well for you, you know, go ahead and make your list on the piece of paper, the list of pros and the list of cons, the things that you don't, that aren't working for you. You know, go and take a look at, you know, where you picked them up from. You know, what situation, what person, what thought process, how many commercials, how much TV has influenced, you know, our points of view on things. And then how much of that is, are you willing to get rid of it? You know, some people like, you know, their limitation. They can hold on to it.
Right.
It's like, okay, cool. You know, when they're ready to let it go, they'll let it go. And when they're ready to hear it, Carol, they'll hear it. You know, right now,
right,
not everyone is able to hear, but lots of people are able to hear what we're talking about.
Okay. And I say these things with all due respect, because I wholeheartedly appreciate just how dedicated people are, and I respect that tremendously. As a healthcare practitioner, though, sometimes I see it as, you know, it's not a this or that situation. It absolutely is part of the whole person, and it is the whole person. So when I'm looking at and I'm trying to look at the whole situation, I can't help but think sometimes, you know, well, maybe we are picking up from other people. Maybe we're judging ourselves through the eyes of other people and doing some things or creating some realities for ourselves that aren't necessarily ours. But how do I get that across, and how do I make that a benefit for someone? And I think you just answered all of that, because it's all in the matter of questions. So I think that the next time you come on the show, because we are still going to run short, the next time you come on this show, we should do a show that's simply about asking questions. What kind of questions? What does that mean? How do we change our thought processes by asking questions? And that should be the next show. It should be, you know, I think you did one, ask a question, change your life.
Change your life, yeah.
I think we should, because it does. It follows suit with everything that we're talking about here, and it does actually play a direct role in having a new attitude, a new life, a new year, new point of view, everything. So it really is ask a question, change your life.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, and energetically, that's like right up the line. So people can, between now and when we get back together again, they can take their paper, they can make their list of what's working for them, what's not working for them. They can ask some questions about, you know, where they got it from, where it was picked up from, and if they're willing to let it go. You know, are you willing to get rid of it? It's kind of like this, what you have right now, what that is for you, whatever it is actually what's limiting you. It's creating your life. Because if you're not in total abundance, tons of ease and joy, you know, then you're not fulfilling at a maximum high vibrational frequency, because high vibrational frequencies are without lack. Anything else has lack within it. So that's why gratitude is one of the top vibrational frequencies. Also, when you're in gratitude, you have a lot of walls that you drop. You don't have the barriers and walls that you have up to protect yourself. You know, that's low vibrational frequency because there's a lack and scarcity of it. And the new point of view is, when you're able to let that go, Carol, you literally are taking your cup and you're emptying it out. And you have so much more room to invite a different possibility into your life, to invite a different relationship, to invite a new job, to invite a different living situation or transportation situation or whatever that happens to be. And if you are a multimillionaire, you know, your cup is still full too. And what is it that you have that's creating your stuck situation? Because lots of millionaires and billionaires are kind of stuck as well. And it's like we all reach the ceiling wherever we are. In fact, we had a millionaire conference here, and it was like those who were millionaires and those who weren't. And literally half the class were millionaires who thought they were broke. They thought they were poor. The other half of the class weren't millionaires, but didn't consider themselves poor either. So it was a huge polarity, and it was a huge wide-opening experience for me that even the millionaires and billionaires that were in the class thought they were poor because certain things showed up for them. One woman was in the smallest, it was like a mansion in her neighborhood, but because she was in the smallest mansion, she thought she was poor. Literally millionaires, like $100 million value worth assets, people, men and women. And then, you know, another gentleman, you know, he and his partner had three homes in three different countries, gorgeous, gorgeous, you know, $1 billion jet, the whole thing. And he thought he was poor because he didn't make the umpteen million dollars that his partner made. They both made millions of dollars every year, but he just didn't make as much as his partner. So he personally thought that he was poor. So it's that point of view, and they were unhappy. You know what I mean? Because they were stuck in this thing. So our point of view creates our reality, no matter where you are. You know, it has nothing to do with, you know, economic brackets. It's your vibrational frequency of lack and not enough wherever you are that prevents you from receiving even greater.
So I think you just gave a new meaning to it's a small world. And I'm going to say that because you just boiled everything down to perspective.
It's the point of view they had, yeah, that locked it in. It's their limitations.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you know, and I know you've been saying that all night, but I had to just kind of pull it together myself in that if it's all about perspective and it's all about what you think, then it is. And if I have a couple of $100 million and I don't have as much as the next person sitting next to me and I'm feeling pretty poor, it is my point of view. And it is stifling to me because I'm never going to have that much that the next guy that's sitting next to me will have because I've just created that for myself.
Yes.
And that's a really tough thing to wrap your head around when you don't have $1 million, or if you do, you know, if you don't have $1 million and you're going, or $100 million plus, and you go, seriously, man, you think you're poor. But then you get yourself into that entire cycle too. So really, I think you need to come back and we need to do Ask a Question, Change Your Life.
Okay.
I really do. I just keep coming back to that. I'm just circling back to that tonight as an adjunct to what we're talking about now. So I think maybe we'll call the show, continue with a new point of view, you know, and maybe, you know, we'll see what your schedule looks like. I know that you're really busy. Do you want to tell anybody how they can get in touch with you or do anything? I didn't do any of that tonight. We are actually just about out of time, too, so we didn't get to any questions. We didn't do anything that we would normally do, but what a fabulous what a fabulous discussion, Susan. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the new year. Thank you, Carol, so much, because literally you can take a look at the point of view that you have. You know what I mean? What you think is like so real, right, and relevant, and really take a look at it, be like, wait a minute, you know, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't actually work for me.
And
when you're willing to do that, take a deep breath in and let it all out. It works for you. I'm going to give my telephone number, 321-946-7465. If you would like to text me or call and leave a message, you absolutely can do that. If you have something that you want to further about or take a look at, I book 30-minute no-cost sessions for people, and I'd love to chat with you about that.
You want to say that again?
My phone number?
In terms of the number, do you want to repeat the number?
Oh, sure. Yep. 321-946-7465.
Great. And what a fabulous show. I can't thank you enough. 2018, you've just kicked off 2018, hopefully with people having, if you don't have a new perspective and you don't have a new point of view at this point in time, we are going to continue to work on it. I think we've just made a commitment with the whole scoop and Susan to kind of come back and revisit this throughout the year to keep you going and to keep everything on track so that 2018 does really change for you.
Yeah, it's your year. Yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
Be great. Yeah, we'll just keep a theme going. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds great, Carol. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining tonight, and those of you that will be listening to this in the future. It has been a lot of fun. I so enjoy every time coming on the show, Carol. Thank you.
I love having you, Susan. Thank you so very much, everybody. You know, we have a lot of shows coming up. We are booked for pretty much the year. We've got a couple of slots open, which I will definitely fill with you, Susan. But the next show that we have, we're going to be talking about direct primary care, and Dr. Muzenegro is coming back to talk to us about what that concierge medicine actually looks like, and health sharing, and kind of alternatives to health insurance, and alternatives to what we know to be healthcare, given the hot topic of today and how things have changed. And I will leave you with this, in that the reason that we're doing this show is because so many people are being impacted by some of the changes that are being made. Yours truly, my health insurance went up $500 a month, so I had to find some alternatives. I want to tell you about them. I want to make sure people understand and know that there are alternatives that can be very viable and can work. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're just jam-packed with a bunch of different shows this year. We're going to talk about allopathic and functional medicine and what that means, and we've got some really great people coming up for those. Susan's coming back. We're going to continue this theme, and we're going to put together a special event on the politics of healthcare. We are going to get that done this year. We're going to pull together a panel of experts and talk about the politics of healthcare. Why is that important? Because you can't make good informed decisions, which is what the premise of this show is about, providing you with information on making good informed decisions, and you can't do that unless you really understand what it is that you're up against. So with that, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to say, Susan, thank you so much. We will see you in a couple of weeks on the 25th with Dr. Muzenegro, and we're going to talk about those particular options. Everybody have a great evening. Thanks so much for kicking this off with us tonight, and we're looking forward to seeing you this year. Good night.